Looking at Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to wind up as we've been looking at verses 1 through 10. We're going to wind that up today. And basically, it's Paul speaking to the Ephesians, and he's telling the Ephesians that you were made alive even when you were dead. And just reminding them, as he reminds us, that God did the things he did for us when we were not deserving of them. That Jesus gave us, he gave us that great sacrifice, he gave us that gift, he gave himself when we didn't deserve it, when we were still in sin. And in verses 2 and 3, it says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." So Paul's reminding everyone about their salvation, and that their salvation comes by grace. It's not by any works. It's not because we did anything to earn it. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing meritorious we can do to somehow lay hold of the riches, the victories of Christ Jesus, the power of Christ Jesus. Nothing we can ever do to earn that. That even while we were living in all the wrong things, living under the power and the influence of the world, Christ still loved us and gave himself for us. It was by his great love that he did this. So we need to remember today the importance of putting our trust not in ourselves, not in our own abilities, but in him. And oh yes, you may not be deserving of it, but you know what? It doesn't change the fact that he's already done it for us. So we can lay hold of those things in faith that he's done for us. We looked at verse 6 last Thursday and Friday, and verse 6 says in the Amplified, "And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One." That's a reminder of where our position is. Our position is not in defeat. Our position is not with the enemy, with his foot on top of our neck and, you know, us on the ground. That's the way we perceive it a lot. That's not the way that it is. Our position is the other way. Our position is we are seated jointly in the heavenly spheres. We are seated with Christ Jesus. That's at the place of victory. That means the enemy is under our feet with our foot on his neck, and we need to enforce that in our lives. We need to enforce that in the specific areas that he just seems to run amok in our lives. That's our position, and that's our place. Verse number 7 says, "That in the ages to come, that he might show exceeding riches." This is the love of Jesus. He did this, that in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. That's his giving us those things we don't deserve. Grace is pouring out to you today those things that you don't deserve. So you can sit back and say, you know what, I understand that I don't deserve those things. And we really don't lay hold of the promises of God because we know we don't deserve them. Well, grace is he's given us those things we don't deserve. They're still ours to lay hold of. "Then the ages to come, he might show exceedingly the riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." Now, I want to read to you verses 8, 9, and 10. Verse 8, we're all very familiar with. It says, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God." Again, here's the reminder. Salvation is given to us as a gift. Nothing we could ever earn. It's a gift. It comes through faith, but it's grace. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. We have to believe it. We have to believe that all the promises, you know, you had to believe at some point in your life, you had to believe that even though you knew that you were a sinner and that you knew that the wages of sin was death, that the gift of eternal life was the gift that was given to us through Christ Jesus. You had to know in your own life what you deserved, but you had to also believe that Christ's death and resurrection, the shedding of his blood and his resurrection, was for you. You had to believe that even though you had nothing, that happened 2,000 years ago, you have nothing to verify that except for your faith, except for the word of truth that was given to you. And the word, the gospel, is a powerful, powerful living thing. That word had to be received, and you had to believe it in faith. And when you accepted that salvation, you know what? You believed for beyond more than just the blessing of spending eternity with him. Now, granted, there's no greater blessing, there's no greater gift that comes than the fact that we now have the ability to boldly go to the throne of grace. There's no greater blessing than the ability to know that we will spend eternity with him. And we're not doomed to an eternity separated from him. But we have that eternity. We have that promise. Nothing greater than that. But the word salvation means so much more. And all the other promises that are a part of that salvation, all the other promises that come with that, those are yours by grace also. It's given to you by grace and his great love. Verse number 9 says, not because of the works. Now, your grace didn't come because you were able to fulfill the law, because you were able to fulfill all the things that the law required or demanded. Obviously, no man has ever done that. There's nothing you can ever do that's going to make you worthy of the things that God has done for you. It goes on to say, lest any man should boast. You know, it's made clear to us that these promises, that these gifts are given to us, not of anything to do with us. Because being humans, we would boast about it. We would. We'd be proud. We'd be arrogant about it. Not one of us can take any credit for our salvation. And likewise, not one of us can take any credit for the great things that God has already established through Jesus Christ, that Jesus has already prepared for us. In every area of your life, Jesus is already, and that goes back to what it talks about in verse number 6. We need to see ourselves seated together, raised up. That means beyond this natural world. Raised up to the heavenly places, raised up to that spiritual realm, and seated together jointly with him in that place of victory. In the same way that we're not deserving of the overriding definition of salvation that most of us certainly understand, which is eternal life through him. But all the other promises that come with that, we are not worthy of any of those things, but they are still gifts given to us if we'll accept them in faith, in the knowledge of it's just all motivated by his great love for us. Now listen to verse number 10. Verse number 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, as you read through this entire second chapter, especially these first 10 verses, the verses we've looked at so far in Ephesians chapter 2, as you read these verses and you read about where we came from and you read about the past, and even Paul says, hey, listen, you know, we were the same as you. And we lived in that same desperate situation, yielding ourselves to the world. And you read about God's great grace and his love and the salvation that comes with that salvation by grace through your faith as a gift from God. You read all those things, and it all kind of comes, or at least I want you to think about today what verse 10 says. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Again, that's a reminder that was a brand new you that was created. When you gave your heart to Jesus, it was a brand new you that was created. Listen to the way it says it in the Amplified Bible. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us. There's probably a lot of you that starting this Monday, caught in the same old things, starting Monday with the same old desperation, with the same lack of results, with the same lack of victories, the same fears and the same anxieties, and you feel like you're just spinning your wheels. I want you to know, you need to see yourself in a different light. You need to see yourself from a different perspective. You need to see yourself from the perspective of God the Father. See yourself in the perspective of through the lens of Jesus Christ. I've told this story before, but I've got my wife and I, when we first got married, we used to collect a lot of cobalt blue glass. And you know, that's a very deep, deep color blue glass. And my stepfather, he would just find all kinds. We had so much blue glass in our house. Big pieces, huge pieces, little pieces. We had as much cobalt blue glass as probably anybody. One of the things he found for me was there was a pair of glasses. It was just regular rims of glasses. And the lenses have been replaced with cobalt blue glass. So you'd put those cobalt blue glasses on, and everything that you would see was blue, because cobalt is such a deep blue. You look outside, you'd see a red car. That red car looked blue, because you're looking at it through the lenses of this cobalt blue. You look at things that are orange, or pink, red, green. You look at green grass, it looks blue. Everything had a blue hue, a deep blue hue to it. Everything appeared to be blue when you looked at it through these blue glasses. Well, it's the same way with us. When we look at our own lives, we see the faults, we see the failures, we see the weaknesses. But God the Father looks at us. And you know what? And this is what I want you to understand. When God looks at you today, he's not looking at you and he's not seeing you in the sinfulness of this world. He's putting on his Jesus glasses and he's looking at you through the blood of Jesus Christ. So he's looking at you through, if you will, red lenses, blood-covered lenses. And he's seeing you through the lenses of Jesus Christ. That means he is seeing you as that recreation. He is seeing you in the perfection of Jesus Christ. He's seeing you free of all sin. He's seeing you victorious in everything. This is the way that God sees you. And that's why you and I can take verse number 10 and know that we are his workmanship. Workmanship, that means it's continuing. He's continuing to work. Jesus himself is continuing, endeavoring as we allow him for that continual growth and that continual development because we've been recreated. And you are, you may not feel like it, but you are recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. That we may do the good works which God predestined and planned beforehand for us. You know what? God has planned ahead. You may not realize it. You may not say it. You may not see it. You might not even think it's possible. But God has great plans set aside for you. Great plans for you. Great plans for you to advance the kingdom of God. And you might say, well, who, me? Look, I'm just going to be happy if I can get through this life and not be overcome and overwhelmed. I'll just be happy if I can manage to survive this life. I can't see me doing any great things for God. You're looking with the wrong eyes. And you know what? You're already selling short the magnificent work that Christ has done in you and continues to do in you. Oh, he may not make you the next Billy Graham, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't have great plans for your life. There's lives that he's designed for you to touch. There's lives that he's designed for you to impact. There's truths that he's set aside for you to know in the Word of God, for you to know and understand that you can apply them to your life and thus apply them to the lives of others. He has things planned for your life that, you know what, if you knew them, you would shy away because you would think it's impossible. He's got plans for your life. And as you start this week, as you look ahead at this Monday and the rest of the week, you know the things, and it's easy to say, you know what, I can't even handle these problems in my life. I can't even handle these things which are overwhelming me. How in the world can God ever use me in great ways? Well, step number one is realizing that you are a new creation, that you're renewed, you're the handiwork of God, and he has great plans, predestined. That means you can't see them, but he's already planned them for you. He's planned them out. You know, if God's planned them out, they already exist. Those great plans that he has for your life already exist. Question is, am I going to walk towards them and in them and through them? Or instead, will I allow myself to be hindered and bound by these things of the world that have always bound me? Or will I believe instead for something better? Will I believe for something bigger? How many of you feel like you have not accomplished the things for God that he's established for you? Don't feel bad about that. You know, the great thing is, if you can admit that and realize it, that's saying that you do understand and realize God has great things planned. He's got pathways planned out for your life. And if you haven't seen them yet, that's okay. Today is a brand new day. You can choose to walk in that path instead of walking in the path that perhaps you were already started upon today and this week. Let's choose to change that path and to take the path that Christ has set before us. Goes on to say that the great works which he predestined planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. He has already prepared today. He's got a path prepared for you. We have to choose to take that path. That means today I'm going to choose. I choose to believe God, not the things that cause me to be fearful. I choose not to believe the anxieties, the fears, and the worries that have been running my mind. I choose not to believe those things, but I choose to believe that you've got a plan. You've got a pathway for my life today, and I choose to take that. I'm looking towards you with hope, with confidence, and with joy. I'm looking towards you and that path that you have set aside for me. Goes on to say in verse number 10 that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. God has a victorious, a good life, which he's prearranged. You know, if you've got a funeral, you've prearranged it. It's already done. It's taken care of. It's already there. It's just waiting for it. You know, when I'm no longer here, it's waiting for it to take place. There are things that we have prearranged in our life. When you prearrange your wedding, you have it all set up and prepared. You just have to wait for the date and walk into it. Well, God has prearranged for you great things, good things, living a good life. How many of you want the good life of Jesus Christ? Right now, people are living that good life. Right now, you can live that good life that he has prearranged and made ready for us to live. It is ready for us. It's ready for me to live. Why am I not living it? Well, part of it goes back to verses 2 and 3. I'm going to read verses 2 and 3 to you again from the Amplified Bible. It says, in which time, at one time, you walked habitually. You were following the course and the fashion of this world. You were under the sway and the tendency of this present age. Okay, we do that. We do that today. We're under the sway of this present age. We live under this present age. We choose to live under this present age instead of choosing to live on the pathway that God has set for us. That hinders us. That holds us back. Under the sway and the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air, you were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience. Who are the sons of disobedience? It says the ones that are careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. Listen, if you are unbelieving and rebellious and going against the purposes of God, you're leaving yourself wide open for all those defeats that we so often experience in life. Verse 3 goes on to say, among these as well, we were like you. We once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of the flesh. Don't conduct yourself in the passions of the flesh. Our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual manners, or nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, the cravings dictated by the senses and our dark imagining. You know what? If we put ourselves in that place where we allow our senses, where we allow ourselves to be caught up in the things of this world, when we allow ourselves to be governed by our thoughts, our dark images, our cravings for the sensual things, the things of the flesh, that which is corruptible. When we allow ourselves to be yielded to and ruled by the things of this world, the tendencies of this present age, we put ourselves in a position of bondage and frustration that we so often feel. But remember this, you've got a different choice today. Verse number 10, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's own handiwork and his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, that's you, born anew, that we might do the great works which God predestined, planned ahead beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should, this is his plan for you, that you, put your name here, that you should walk in, living the good life. You should be living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us in life. It's prearranged. It's made ready. Just waiting for us to walk into it. I've got to choose to separate myself from those other things that verses 2 and 3 talk about and put my confidence, my hope, my trust in him. I can live that good life. I can walk those paths that he's prearranged for victory, for impact, for power for him. Do you want that today? Read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in the Amplified Bible. Read it today. Read it and get it stuck in your thoughts and in your mind. Make it what you believe, what you know to be true is God's promise for you. And watch the changes take place in your life.